Amen. Thank you, Derek. You guys feeling to get out your outlines? We'll continue in this series of living with a margin. Living with a margin. We're in part 9, I believe it is. And we're going to talk for the next couple of weeks about expecting the best and planning for the worst. It's based on this verse here, Proverbs 21. I love the Message paraphrase. It says, do your best, prepare for the worst, then trust God to bring victory. I think of Angie and I have been camping almost 2 years now. We camp once a month. And so when I read this verse, I think of how Angie packs it, the camper. It's kind of funny, but do your best, prepare for the worst. I mean, she packs games and books and DVDs. But I remember we was going outside. I said, I can't stand bugs. I said, man, I don't even want to go outside right now. Them bugs is bad. Well, I got some spray. I got your little slinky thing you can wear on your wrist. Keep the bugs off. Really? You thought to pack that? I remember a cut or something. I wish I had a Band-Aid. I got one. She was prepared for the worst. There's no telling what she'll come up with out of her pocketbook. Set of jumper cables. come along, anything. Y'all ladies, prepare for the worst in your pocketbook. I loved the end of this verse. Then trust God to bring victory. Yes. Expect the best, plan for the worst, then trust God to bring victory. That's what we really want to talk about. This principle is really about how God wants to bring some victory into your life and mine. Some victory. That's what this principle is about. I mean, this phrase, expect the best and plan for the worst, it could be a motivational poster, couldn't it? We could put that anywhere. But we're talking way more than just a motivational poster here. We're going to go deeper. This verse goes deeper. We're talking about how God can bring some victory into my life, in your life, in this area of margin. So that's what we're going to focus on this next couple of weeks. So I want to start with what God says about expect the best and plan for the worst. Because we might have the definition, but God has some things to say about it. The Bible says this about expecting the best. The Bible calls that faith. Expecting the best is called faith. And faith is expecting that God is working for his best in your life in every circumstance. Every circumstance. That's what it means to have faith. Expecting God to work the best in your life in any and every circumstance. That's faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Circle confidence and assurance. Confidence and assurance, you see, that's expecting the best. Confidence and assurance that God is working in our life. Expect the best. Expect the best. Now, the Bible also has a definition for planning the worst. The Bible calls that wisdom. 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 God wants to give us wisdom for even the worst things that we face in the world. The worst. The very first wisdom you can hang your hat on is that we're going to face problems in this world. Now, there's no problems in heaven, but while we're on this planet, yipper, we're going to face problems. And God wants to give us the wisdom to face those problems, to face the worst. But I think God also wants to give us the wisdom to avoid some problems, like bug spray. He wants to give us some wisdom to avoid some problems in our own life. Proverbs 22:3 says, sensible people. I should write Angie beside that. Sensible people will see trouble coming and avoid it. But an unthinking person, write Jim beside that, will walk right into it and regret it later. Amen? With God, there is wisdom that keeps us from getting clobbered and helps us when we get clobbered. Amen? That's the kind of wisdom I would like to have. So expect the best, plan for the worst. But the truth is this, we tend to be better at one of those than the other. Some of you are the expect the best kind of people. That's what I lean toward. I'm one of those. It's the way you and I think. But some of you are planning for the worst kind of people. You always got your umbrella nearby. Amen? How many got an umbrella in the car? We'll call y'all Angie. You always got it nearby. It's the way you're wired. You're just planning for the worst. Some of you have the expectation that everything will work with no planning, no problems. Amen? Jim's, raise your hand. It'll work out. And then every time there's a problem, you're shocked. How did I get a flat tire? That wasn't in the schedule. Which is shock. We're expecting and we're not planning. Others are planning. They plan everything. They know everything that could happen and they got it on a spreadsheet. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Color-coded spreadsheet. So you're good with all the problems. But guess what? You don't have time to expect the best. You don't have time to expect the best because you're planning for the worst. And really, when you don't have time to expect the best, you're just creating more problems. Planning but not expecting. Let me just give you a little shocker. Planners seem to always marry expectors. Am I right? They seem to always marry expectors. And so what? I sounded rather feminine with that, didn't I? But right, we need some balance in this area, amen? We need some balance. So for you and I, we need margin in our lives in this area. We need both. We need to be expecting the best, but plan for the worst in order to have good margin in our life. Because the purpose of margin is so that God can do greater things in your life. Do greater things in your life. Greater things through your life. And if you're not expecting God to do anything, then what's the point of a margin? God wants to work through you. And he needs you and I to have margin in our lives. But you also plan for problems. You also get the bug spray. If you don't plan for the problems, you're going to be overwhelmed. And you're going to have the expectations overwhelmed right out of you. If you don't plan for the problems. They're going to keep happening. They're going to keep coming at you. And then they're going to cause you not to hope anymore. They're going to cause you not to expect anymore the great things that God wants to do. It's going to keep coming at you. It's going to keep coming at you. So we need both in our lives. Well, how do you do both? Expect the best and plan for the worst. I think there's four simple things, and we're only going to talk about two of them today. We may not even finish the second one. The first one might surprise you. Here it is for you blank filler enders, for you planners. Stop pretending. This may shock you. Stop pretending to be God. Stop pretending to be God. We pretend to be God when we think expecting and planning is all on us. We pretend to be God when it's all on our shoulders. And when we do that, we are pretending to be God, and we find ourselves unable to do it when we do that. Now, we live in a world right now, and I say this all the time, where if it's to be, it's up to me kind of thinking. We live in a world filled with whatever you set your heart and mind to, you can do it kind of thinking. And you can find that kind of thinking in a bookstore, in self-help books, and on YouTube. That kind of thinking says you are God. And obviously, you're not. You can't do anything and everything that you want. You can't even solve all your problems. You're not God. You can't do that. But those books and some people tell you that you can, so you will feel better about yourself. You'll feel better about yourself. I'm going to tell you something. That's not self-help. That's self-destruction. Self-destruction. The truth is, this kind of thinking makes its way into the church sometimes. Not just outside of the church. We take that kind of, I can do anything kind of thinking, and kind of glue God on the end of it. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. Just kind of attach it to. If it's to be, it's up to me with God's help. Just kind of tacked at the end of it. I can do anything I can set my mind to with God's strength. Just paste it right there at the end of it. But still, we're thinking that we can do anything all on our own. You see, it's easy to move from expecting God can do anything to expecting you can do anything. It's an easy trap to get caught up in. The problem is you're pretending to be God. You're pretending to be God. And guess what? This is the original sin. This is the original sin that started everything in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3:5. God knows that if you eat the fruit from that tree, you will learn about good and evil, and you will what? Be like God. The temptation to be like God was the very first sin. Now, some of you, you've told me you hadn't really liked this series, this Living with a Margin. You didn't really know why, but you told me, I don't really like it. I want you to consider something. You may not want to admit that you have limits. Just consider that. We want to think that we really can do anything and everything. But we don't want to admit that we have limits. Here's the truth, that God is limitless, but we are limited. We're limited. And being limited is a hard thing for some of us to admit. Nothing is impossible for God, but lots of things are impossible for you and I. The only time things are impossible for us is because of God's power, not our power. Do you get that? That was hard for me to say for some reason, our power. The only time things are impossible for us is because of God's power, not our power. God is greater. God is limitless. So we need to stop pretending to be God. Expect the best, plan, and prepare for the worst. Well, what's the answer to this temptation to be like God? Well, it's the attitude of humility. One of the most margin-creating choices that you and I can make every day is the choice to humble ourselves. To humble ourselves. Whenever you're acting like it's all up to you and everything's on your shoulders, you're trying to be like God. And that's why you're stressed. Matthew 23 says, I love this verse. You can just chew on it for all week. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled. And those who humble themselves will be exalted. So daily, you have a choice. Every day, you have a choice. Either to exalt yourself or humble yourself. I got news for you. According to this verse, if you choose to exalt yourself, you will be humbled. You will be humbled. As a parent, when I chose to exalt myself as a parent, I was humbled by my own kids. If you choose to humble yourself, you will be exalted. Do great things that God works through you. Your choice to be humble or exalt yourself. The best for your life is found in your choice to humble yourself. And you and I face that decision every morning. To humble or to exalt. Not depending on me, I'm depending on God. It's a choice. It's a choice. Just let that sink in. Some of the problems you're facing right now is of your decisions that you're making to exalt yourself. Number two, base your planning on God's wisdom. We don't do this a lot. Base your planning on God's wisdom. Am I going to base my planning on my wisdom or God's wisdom? God created me and he knows me. And the Bible is kind of like the owner's manual. Am I going to use that to face every area when I need margin? When I need space? Space. That's what margin is. Because life doesn't always work out the way that I want it to. I need space. Amen? You need space. I need space. We need space for the money to run short. Amen? Sometimes there's more months left than money. We need space for things when things take longer than you thought they would, space. Amen? Ain't that ever happened to y'all? We need space for health problems. We need space for work when it becomes difficult. We need space for relationships when they get messy. These are five key areas that we need God's wisdom to create the space that we need. We plan, but sometimes it doesn't work out. But the place to start thinking about is God's wisdom. And you got to make sure you get God's wisdom in each of these five steps. Are you listening to what God says about how to handle your time? Are you listening to what God says, how to handle your money, your health, your work, your relationships? You got to start with his wisdom and not our wisdom. I only want to look at three of them today. And we'll finish up next week. God's wisdom for margin. Very first one is this. We're going to look at this. Invest your money. Invest your money. Let's look at God's wisdom for that. If you're spending everything that you have, then you got no margin for problems. Amen? You got no margin for problems. Invest your money. You're going to be overstressed if you have no margin with your money. Amen? Proverbs 21:20. I know some of you said, he ain't said nothing about money in a long time. Now there he goes. It's important. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. The Word talks about money a lot, and I wouldn't be a very good pastor if I didn't teach you about it. All throughout the Bible. Obviously, you got to save. You got to save some money. But God's wisdom is deeper than our wisdom. His wisdom not only includes saving, it also includes giving. Because spending without saving is bad planning. But saving without giving is also bad planning. Why? Let's look what Luke says. Give and you will receive. The way you give to others is the way God will give to you. You see, without giving, you're essentially cutting yourself off from the source. As my mom would say, you're cutting the nose off to spite your face. Give and you'll receive. And the way you give to others is the way that God will give back to you. How's that working for you? Wisdom is investing your money. It includes saving and giving. Saving and giving. Now let's look at time. I won't be on money too long. Some of you guys are already, that nerve that runs from your billfold to the rest of your body started hurting and aching. Spend your time. Spend your time. Spend it in the right way, with the right thinking behind it. A lot of us struggle with this one. Our calendar, our time. We have a tendency to overschedule our time. We tend to think that things are not going to take as much time as they actually take. They always take longer, don't they? It always takes longer, even if you figure in the fact that it takes longer, it still takes longer. You ever notice that? Always. It's why I don't make long daily to-do lists. I don't want to be disappointed. So I just make a real short one. Half a chore. Since I tend to not finish anything. We need God's wisdom in this. And Ephesians 5:16 says this. Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. That's the Amplified Version. It also says redeeming. Redeeming, which means buying up. Buy the time. What that means is spending your minutes in exchange for opportunities. Write that down. Spending your minutes in exchange for opportunities. Opportunities to do good. You see, you only get a certain amount of minutes each day. Each day. So what I want you to think of is not that you're spending minutes on task, but spending these minutes on opportunities to do good and to serve others. and to love God and to rest in God's love. So guys, as your pastor, I want you to begin to think of life not as a series of events. Begin to think of daily living not as a series of tasks, but a series of opportunities. And spend your minutes for opportunities. Now the problem with that phrase in there, making the most, some of us want to overspend. They want to overspend. Guys, I want to tell you, you ain't got so much time. You can't do it all. Be careful. How does God want you to spend it? So many great opportunities. And sometimes we overspend, and then we're overstressed. You see, sometimes we act like we can multiply our time. You know, Saturday's my Sabbath. I've told you that before. I had three events that I wanted to go to last night. Then I even thought, well, I might hurt one of the feelings if I don't go. You know what I was getting into? Stress. That's so dumb. I can only be at one place at one time. So I prayed and I asked God where he would want me to go. He said, barbecue. Heard him loud and clear. Amen. I was happy. And even when you got this big schedule, you can get somebody to help you. But guess what? That's just spending their time. You're just spending their time. And then what happens when you get somebody to help you and they leave? That ever happened to anybody? Sorry, Jim, but I got to go to barbecue. I'm out. So I want you to think about how you're spending your minutes. Every day, how you're spending your minutes. If you're constantly overspending your time, you're headed for a crash. You cannot keep adding stuff to your schedule. That's what I'm trying to teach some folks in their 30s now that I believe I'm part of their mentor. Guys, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't let church overspend your time. You're headed for a crash. You're headed for a crash. Pick one or two things and do it well for the glory of God. Amen. 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 Right. Getting more done today is not the goal, but getting what God wants done in and through your life, that's the goal. Right. Sometimes that might mean that you get nothing done today. And I know that just sticks in some of your craw. Come by one Saturday and watch me do. Sometimes that might mean you get nothing done today, but that might be just so that you have the energy and the wisdom to get it done tomorrow. Amen? That he wants to do great things through you. So ask yourself, what is the opportunity that God is putting in front of you right now? What is it that he's putting in front of you right now? But don't overspend your minutes. Don't overspend. Last one. Take care of your body. Take care of your body. To have margin in your life, God cares enough about your body to tell you to take care of it. Take care of it. 1 Corinthians 6. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your what? Body. God says, I care enough about your body that he says, now that you've accepted me as your Lord and Savior, I'm moving in. I'm moving in. And I'm going to make your body a temple of my presence. Your body. When you give your life to Christ, God moves in. Now, we got all kinds of temples today, don't we? In this building, we got all kinds of temples. God's moved in. He wants you to care for your body. He wants you to care for your body. Some people tell me that all we talking about the spiritual. All we really need is a spiritual thing. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Nowhere. God says, I care about your body. Physical body. So you and I should care about our bodies. We got to take care of our bodies. We got to set aside some time to do that. Now, some people think that that's material thinking. Some people think that that's shallow thinking. Some people think that that's superficial. I want to tell you something. God does not. God does not. God cares, so should you and I care about our bodies. Amen? Amen. If I'd known how I was going to feel at 57, I'd took better care. But I'm starting to get back after this surgery. I'm starting to take care of my body better. Because I realize that God cares about my body. Amen? Amen? Cares about your body. You need to care too. It's not just spiritual, it's physical. Get out and move. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for caring, Lord, about margin in our lives. Lord, sometimes, and I've been guilty of, we say yes to too many things. We even let people guilt us into things. Guilt's not from you. Freedom is. And Lord, I pray that, you know, you got me and Derek praying together that we believe in your name. There's somebody here that needs you. Somebody here that needs you and as their Lord and Savior. You're a gentleman. And I pray that their heart softens today. And Derek and I come in agreement on this. That today's the day. The best day of the rest of their life. And you come to give life and give it more abundantly. Lord, we love you and it's in your name we pray. Amen.